put aside and put on the back burner is our own health, both mentally and physically. We tend to neglect that while we are trying to take care of our business and try and keep up with everything. So I want to talk to you today about that experience and what you've seen with other entrepreneurs and business owners, particularly some of the results you've seen of neglecting our health and wellness. So what do you have to say about that topic?
Which part, the neglect?
Yeah.
That's a big one. It's very common. And I work with a lot of high achieving creative people who feel shut down in their bodies because of the fact that it's almost like they used to know and then they sort of forgot. And then by the time they forgot, they're like, how did I get here? When did this happen? What, I've been in this whirlwind. I didn't even realize until I like looked at myself, or I have this health condition, or I have, usually it's taken something either extremes that like they get their blood work done and it's the numbers are crazy, or they're not feeling well in numerous ways, whether like migraines or exhaustion or thyroid issues, or their digestive system is totally screwed, or their sleep has gotten really challenged. I mean, there's certain things that happen more with women than men in a way, but I would say that's, or like they're not managing the anxiety, and that's a form of neglect too, and that therefore they're getting things like they can't focus because they're just so overwhelmed, or I've seen all of those things. What else have I seen? I would say the top things are sleep, digestive health, focus, or just like mental like dis-ease, meaning like just they're just scattered. And or when I say weight gain, I kind of more mean just like it's more like an inflammatory response to like them making fast, unthoughtful choices based on, yeah, they're just not thinking, and they're and they're going on like feast or famine, or their cycles have gotten so far off that they don't even know how to eat anymore, and so like next thing they know they're like, how did this happen? Or some people where they get really depleted, like their iron levels, or they've lost weight because they are like not taking care, and their energy is totally tanked, and they're living off of stimulants that aren't serving them well, and they know it. I mean, those are the top ones, I would say, for sure. Yeah.
A lot of different ways that your body can be telling you that something is off.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So how do you see these different physical and mental symptoms of neglecting our health affecting our work that we do as entrepreneurs and business owners?
How does it affect the work? Well, I think that we think we can do more, be more, and by pushing harder or overextending, when the reality is that doesn't really work either. Like eventually something's got to give, and then you have a bigger problem. So yeah, I mean, I think it, especially because of the culture that we live in, that's so about pushing and achieving and shoving and getting too caught up. Yeah, I mean, those things are all, wait, say the question again, so I'm making sure I'm answering it the way I wanted to.
Yeah. I think that, you know, these different physical symptoms and mental symptoms that we have from neglecting our health, they come into play in our business and actually affect our performance and our work. And you're saying we tend to try to just push through that and keep trying to force it more and more and more, but then it's going to create even larger health issues down the road, right? Yeah.
Thank you for saying it again. So the way that it affects our performance is we think that like if we, you know, drink the 16th cup of coffee or something, I'm just using a very basic example, that we'll be able to like do more of the whatever. And really like, A, the quality of the whatever isn't really even authentic because you're just running on fumes. And also you're shoving something out, but you're like really, it's self-sabotaging yourself because you're harming, in the long run, you're harming yourself so that you can't even perform the job later on that you want to be doing for the long haul because you're causing damage for future. Mm-hmm. I mean, damage sounds very dramatic, but you're, yeah. So you do things in the short term that seem like a great idea because it's so acceptable, but in the long term, you're just adding insult to injury because it's not going to serve anyone if you're not doing those things that are actually small habits every day that aren't, but later on they're harder to reverse. Like if you, the more accumulation of this stuff over time, it gets hard. It builds. And then, so the idea is that you do things hopefully that are to counteract the stressors by every day that are small things that don't take much time actually. But anyway, that's how it starts to impact people. Is it like, it's not helping your business or your productivity really in the bigger picture. And again, in the moment, maybe. And usually it's for things that aren't even that really that important. Like they seem like they are, but it's probably not worth it to do the all nighter or stay up that much later or get, you know, whatever the thing is that's causing you to totally neglect yourself or get super depleted or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not really worth it. Once in a while, here, like randomly once in a while, it's fine. We're resilient. You can do okay. But over and over and over, it's the stuff that we do over and over that make the biggest impact. Stuff we do mm-hmm. once in a while, nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, it just kind of gets swept. But the stuff that we do over and over and over, and it's the stuff we do over and over that becomes patterns and habits for better or for worse.
Yes. Yeah. So this is for the self-care and the not self-care, whichever you're doing regularly right. is going to make a big okay. difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And self-care has become a real like buzz thing now. And self-care doesn't even necessarily mean walking out to go get yourself a manicure. That's nice. You know, certainly has its place. Self-care is so much about what goes on inside of your internal messaging system that goes on inside of you and your thoughts and the words you speak and the way that you, it's just moment to moment. It's like those self-care, it's woven into a lot of things in the day, not just sort of like, oh, go get that. Yeah, there's multiple versions of what self-care really means, I mm-hmm. think.
Yeah.
Go on.
That sounds great. I do want to talk about one of the biggest issues surrounding this topic for me is that we don't even notice that something is wrong. I feel like we are so busy that we lean into the busyness and try to find substitutes for why we don't feel good, and tend to think that why we don't feel good, like our crappy diet or our lack of focus, is just how life is right now because life is busy and it can't be any different. So do you have any suggestions for, you know, assessing to check in with ourselves more on a regular basis or be aware of these imbalances?
Yeah, it's a really great question and a great comment because, I have a package at the door. Did you hear the doorbell? Can you pause? Sorry.
Package received.
Exactly. So, oh my God, what did you ask me about? Oh, that we can, it's easy to ignore those messages. And for those of us who have gotten really used to listening to the messages, sometimes take for granted that when I remember and I'm working with clients and I'm like, oh yeah, they really aren't paying attention. They really don't know. I call it overriding the system. You know, like you're in a car and it like tells you to accelerate or slow down and you're like ignoring the car saying slow down, or you're ignoring the yellow light and you're like, you just go ahead anyway. Like you're overriding the system. So you're ignoring messages, and we get messages all the time that we really ignore. Also, we ignore them because we've been taught to, our parents did, the people around us do. Our culture is like so about, you know, that in a way of not feeling and not paying attention. And so, are you saying tips or suggestions to very easily tune in fast?
Yeah, and maybe having a system for reminding ourselves to check in.
Yeah, I think it's great to have. Okay, so there's a mental answer. There's different personality types. There's people who do really well with like mental ways, emotional ways, physical ways, whatever they are. So for example, a physical way might be that they have, I have this bottle of an essential oil in front of me that I call focus. And if I see it and I'm feeling spacey and I'm not remembering what to do, whatever, and I see it and I'm like, oh, right, I need to focus, like I'm not focusing. So I see something physically. So there's the physical. And so then I can like put some in the palm of my hand, take a deep breath, do something physically that activates a bunch of other stuff. So that's the physical. I see something visual. Like spiritual might mean for someone who is into this stuff, they might have a mantra that they just have written down in front of them to repeat every day. It could say all kinds of, you know, everyone's got a different thing they need to have as their sort of mantra, or many of them or whatever. So someone could have a mantra that really helps them to remember to check in with their bodies, or reminds them to rest, or like I know people who get really, they get what I call they're tired and wired. So they're like really wired all day. And so they have, I've told them to put a note that says, when you start to feel like you can't stop moving and there's just more to be done, more to be done, you just keep doing, that's the signal that you have a note that says, if you can't stop, then go lay down for, mm-hmm. and set a timer for 10 or 15 minutes. I don't care what is going on, unless it's something that's like a critical dead, right? You know, if you're an emergency room doctor, you know, there's something really critical. Otherwise, if you're spinning that much most days and you just sort of like can't stop, got it more, there's always something more, I've got this list, and you can't stop, I promise you, I don't care who you are, how accomplished you are, you will benefit if you stop. And it might, I'm not saying you're gonna fall asleep, but if you have a note, physical reminder that says, stop the spinning, go lay down for 10 minutes, 5 minutes. And I cannot even tell you how many times that has saved me and countless other people I've worked with. And they were like, they don't want to, they want to fight it. And they're like, but there's always something else. And then they're like, oh my God, I was actually tired and I could regroup, recenter, and I am so much better. I am paced more better. I'm more focused. I'm able to actually, you know, it's like it stops a cycle. And these things are things that stop a cycle, not just for in the moment, but for the entire thing of what happens for your whole day. Because if you're someone that's like, go, 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 and then you hit the pillow and you can fall asleep, but then you're going to wake up 5 more times because you never did that thing earlier in the day that helped you slow down and pace yourself. Like, these things will show up later on, mm-hmm. that you don't even think about. So anyway, so those are the physical, let's see, a physical, a spiritual would be like a mantra or a note that gives you some inspiration to take a break and take go sit and meditate for 5 minutes, or lay down or breathe, one of those things, or take a walk around the block one time. It doesn't have to be mm-hmm. a whole massive thing. Let's see, an emotional, I guess you could, so there's specific things like, there are people who I work with that are, there's a phrase that I use with a lot of my clients when they have habitual things that aren't serving them well, when they're neglecting themselves or not taking care of, they have acronyms that help them with the emotional, like asking themselves a fast series of questions when they know they're into a habit that's not feeling good, that I call HALT. I don't just call it. A lot of people know this one. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it stands for it's a check-in that you can ask yourself when you're like it's like a stopping point, and you can ask mm-hmm. yourself, like, so if you're going for food or you want to go for have a glass of wine, and you know it's not the best time of day to do these things or something. This is more for people who have like more chronic habitual challenges with this stuff. This is not necessarily for everyone, although it might benefit a lot of people who are high achieving and busy and don't know how to stop, or don't stop well or whatever. Is you can ask yourself HALT, which is am I hungry? Like, ask, are you actually feeling hunger? Are you feeling, and the A is for angry, but I also say like, or anxious or any other emotion or feeling state. And the L is, are you lonely? And the T is, are you tired or thirsty? And you can do that even if you're not having the habitual thing that I'm talking about, or addictive behavior. It's still kind of a nice check-in, because you can, it's a way to listen to your body. Mm-hmm. You can like, it's a really fast assessment. And there's other assessments. I have lots of other acronyms that are, but that tends to be a go-to and a favorite because it's easy to remember, because it's HALT. It makes you stop, stop. And then you can ask yourself those questions really quickly. And, you know, a lot of people who aren't used to doing this stuff will say, I don't even know what those things mean, or what they don't even know what those things actually feel like. But so it takes practice in asking yourself those questions, what that one is. Let's see. Does that answer your question? Wait.
Yeah.
Emotional.
And I think the more you practice listening to yourself, the easier it is to hear what your body's trying to tell you. But I think it is something that takes practice. And for me, in my experience as a business owner, I have had to deliberately carve out time in my day. Like the same way I do where I set time aside each day to answer emails. I set time aside each day, like five, like you said, 5-10 minutes just to check in with myself. And the more that I do that, even if I aim for 5 days a week and I do it 2 days a week, I'm a little bit better at checking in with myself that week because I set that time there. But making it as important as the other tasks in my life, I feel like is kind of the key component for me.
It is just as important, if not more so, because if you cannot be, if you're not taking care of yourself, it's, you know, that saying of like, if mama's not, what is it? If mama's not good, nobody's good. Like, if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to be able to be of service in the way that you want to. And less is more. I mean, the less of the doing is more. Mm-hmm. So, there was something I was going to say about that, that you just touched on, which is, that some people say to me, like a friend who's always saying to me, I know you're busy, but I know you're so busy. And I was like, well, I think of it, first of all, I think we have to reframe things sometimes as busy, as people who are quote unquote busy, and thinking of your life as full. How full do you really want it and like it? What does fullness mean to you? Not the busy. The busy might not even be meaningful. But what I say is, to you, I might be busy, but I carve out times that are very much in quiet or stillness or stopping or stepping away, and that no one has to know about that. It's just for you. Mm-hmm. It's for you. And it's sacred. I consider it really sacred time to have that. And I notice when I don't get that. And I think most of the clients that I've started out with, when they start out, they don't notice. And then later on, once they have that, they're like, oh my God, what was I doing all this time? Like crazy person. Mm-hmm. Without that, how was I functioning that way? And I was like, well, here you are now with these challenges that are a result of not doing that. So let's course correct.
That's great. Yeah. And once you have it, you know how valuable it is. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
So you had talked a little bit about self-care and how self-care is a buzzword now, that I feel like a lot of people have a misinterpretation of what that means to have self-care in your life. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think they do too. I think it's gotten to be very funny, and it's almost like gotten a little like cheesy Hallmark cardy or something. And I think there's a misperception that that self-care only means getting a manicure and buying yourself some flowers or something. There's nothing wrong with those things at all. Those are nice things to do. I think self-care generally is deeper and just more about things like setting healthy boundaries with people and with your time, or again, the thought patterns that you have that are negative, that create stress in your body. If you're constantly thinking, I suck, I'm not good enough, I'm horrible, and then you're pushing into, you know, and all the, that's not self-caring. And so in order for it to be self-caring, you have to be willing to catch those thoughts and really look at them and transform them into what truth is, and also to what's going to actually make you feel not just better, but rewrite your story, because our stories are those thoughts that aren't self-care. They're usually lies. They're old. They're based on outdated stories from the past. They're not really in the present. So self-care has to be about course correcting your thought patterns and catching them. And self-care has to be about saying no to people or situations when you've always said yes, but you know saying no is killing you or really not something you want to do, and stop shoving it down. And because if you don't catch those things, it leads to other things later. You're not using your voice. You're not being authentic. You're not saying no. You're not having healthy boundaries. And then instead you are up late at night and you're binging, or you're, you know, numbing out to something else, or you're whatever, because you're not willing to use your voice. Well, it all comes back to that self-care that could have been implemented by saying, no, that's actually not, I can't do that. And no explanation. You can just say, no, thank you, or whatever. It could be so many things. But so self-care, I think, is about those things. I'm leaving lots of things out, but I mean, maybe you can think of some other, that I'm blanking right now, but usually it's about time or space or the way that you're treating yourself. And again, I've been doing body work for many years. Carving time for yourself to receive something like that even so much as don't just do it because someone says, do it and then show up and then be present. That's self-care. Receive what you were given. That's self-care. Being present and allowing yourself to receive a compliment is self-caring. So it's interesting how it can show up in different ways, not just like go buy flowers and have a manicure and go have a nice dinner, although those are great things too. So there's a, does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the biggest idea on this that you said that I really loved was that it's about the small little decisions. It's not necessarily, I feel like people put self-care off because they feel like they don't have time for it, but it's little things that you can insert into your life. Yeah.
Yes. 1,000 In fact, those things are more important than you going and doing these big things that they think they don't have time for. And it's much more integrated into your everyday because let's face it, people have full lives and things like someone said to me the other day, I just want a break. I can't seem to get a break. And my other friend was like, what break? She's like, there's no, what does that even mean? Life's happening. Like, you know, so because we don't always get the break or the like thing, you have to be willing to like catch those moments in moments and take the breath. I mean, self-care again is about 3 seconds of taking some deep breaths. That's self-care. It's not some cheesy pointy thing. It's like being that present minded that you're willing to walk into the bath. If you're having a difficult conversation and instead of going into some crazy spin out in your head, you walk into the bathroom. You remember what you love about yourself. You look at your hands or do something that reminds you of your humanness and take 5 deep breaths and carry on. That's self-care. That didn't take an appointment or setting aside hours of time.
Yeah.
So, and you could do that 15 times a day if you needed to, and that's self-care. Self-care is also calling a friend when you're walking down the block and you're like, I'm going to lose my shit. I need to hear someone's voice who knows me. And who can hear me cry and that's okay, or who I can, maybe I can listen to them instead and that feels self-caring because I'm getting out of my own head and I can be there for somebody else. That's self-care too.
And this same realm, I think that the physical side of health is applicable here in this same kind of idea where we think a lot of the time that eating healthy means going on an extreme diet and getting physical exercise means exercising for 3 hours every single day. But that those can be, those ideas can also be worked in small ways in our life and that it comes down to the small decision. Yeah.
Much better. Extremes are that they're extremes and they're very easy. If you can go to that end of the pendulum and one extreme to thinking I have to work out this long or I have to be on some extreme diet, then you are going to just as easily fly to the other extreme of the other end of that pendulum when things, just the moment that something doesn't go right, the moment that it's not working perfectly for you, the moment that you're kind of over the extreme because it's extreme and you can't maintain that in real life. So then you fly to the other end of the spectrum or the pendulum and then you're there on the other end. And just as an extreme and feeling crappy and saying, oh, I better start that over again. And there you are creating a vicious cycle. It's a lie. I believe that extreme stuff like that is a lie. And we think that there's a magic bullet that way, a magic pull that you just do this thing. And you may have results right away, but in terms of lifestyle and having them like actually last for the long term and actually integrate and actually help you heal. No, I think you're just talking about, again, extremes. And like you said, integrating, it's better for someone to do, I mean, everyone's got, someone might differ. Someone might, there's no black and white here. Like there might be someone who's like, no, I go my extreme, this and that, and it works. And I've done it for 50 years and I'm fine. I'm great. I mean, who knows? But yeah, thinking that you need to do those extreme things is sort of disordered thinking, in my opinion. It's like the all or nothing is not really... there's something else behind it that needs to be looked at and that you'd be better off taking 3 short walks in a day, getting out fresh air and spreading it out through the day than getting one like full out crazy extreme workout and then sitting for the entire day. You know what I'm saying? And then what are you doing? You're sitting all day after you've just moved your body and then your body gets stiff and sore versus just getting up a few times, walking around the block, continuing on, getting up again, 5 minutes, walk around, you know, something like that. Your body's like, oh, okay, I'm getting this regularly. It's not feast or famine. So sending your body the message that it's not feast or famine, that it's integrated, that this is part of normal life is a much better message to send than feast or famine.
Yeah, I like that. And if we are practicing listening to our bodies and what our body needs, I don't feel like our body is ever really calling us to go to these extremes. It's usually a panic in our
brain. yes, spot on. Our crazy minds. You are right. Mm-hmm. Our bodies are not begging for that extreme. You're absolutely right. And those of us who have seen like the light of that after going through really difficult things, sometimes of whatever it is, have learned to see that like it is definitely not our body. You're so right.
Yeah.
No, our body is much more, much different than what our minds say to do with what
you say. So we've touched on a few of these already throughout the interview, but can you just kind of pull out some of these small steps that you would suggest to just start incorporating into our lives?
In order to manage the full life, the busy,
The ways to take care of ourselves while we're busy. Mm-hmm.
So there are so many. Let me think about my top. Maybe I should just tell you the top ones from the day, of just like today. Let's see. I think it can be some very simple things that are not. I'd like to keep it simple, so it's not like, oh my God, how will I ever do that? For anyone listening that would be thinking of where to start. I think thinking of being mindful of like all of this, but like getting some movement in your day. That could be through your breath. That could be taking a walk around the block. That could be going to yoga class. That could be doing a few stretches that you get to do a couple times throughout the day. Movement's pretty important to break up the flow and not be sitting the whole time and not be running around. If you're someone that's running around a lot, then for those people, it's the important practice would be to stop and lay down for a minute, or stop and breathe and slow and not keep going, and then crashing later. So that would be one thing that I think is important. I think the other thing is just making sure you really get proper nourishment in terms of your food. And so everyone's different with that. Everyone has different needs, but paying attention to not extremes. You want to keep your blood sugar balanced. For some people, that means eating small meals throughout the day at different times. It's better if you can keep it fairly consistent around timing. And then for other people, it means just like, no, they do really well with, you know, two or three solid meals and they know what they are. But just that's about planning and making sure you have things on hand. And if you don't have things on hand that are super fresh, keep things in your freezer that are super simple to make. Like it could be frozen vegetables. It could be something that you've made, a big batch of some kind of soup that you keep in there. It could be smoothies you like to make on the fly so that there you have the ingredients available with the berries and the different mixtures of things. I'm not going to get into too much detail about the food part, but that is important to make sure you have really great and have snacks with you. If you're on the road a bunch and you're traveling and you're in airports or you're in transit a lot, to make sure like clients come in like, oh, I had nothing with me. I didn't eat for hours. I feel lightheaded. My blood sugar crashed. And then I ate blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, wouldn't it have been nice to just take a minute to put those bags of the nuts and the bars or the seeds or whatever in your bag and have it there always. I make sure there's always something in my bag. I call it backup. Like even if I don't touch it, it's there for like backup, emergency, whatever. And it's just like, once you get in that habit, it's one that's important. I think hydration is really, really important. Keeping your water, your tea with you all day to be drinking, getting up and going to the bathroom. Again, the breathing thing is really important. I use essential oils because I think they're really easy and they're super effective and they're fast, and you can put a couple drops and it reminds me to breathe, take some deep inhales in my palms, put a little in the back of my neck. Really good high quality ones are good for, depends on what your personal preferences or what your needs are. Like I said, I have that focus one right here. I have other ones I use first thing in the morning, some before bed for unwinding. You've got to have a routine or ritual that helps you like with your waking up, and the ones that help you unwind and go to sleep and sleep soundly. I also think that supplementation, like really high quality supplements, are key, because we can't get everything you need from your food every single day. So you've got to optimize your health. If you want to keep your energy levels at a good place and you want to keep your cells healthy and vibrant, you want to have supplements that really, really nourish them deeply. And you want to have high quality. So quality does matter. You don't want to buy just anything. Of course, I can always talk more about that, but quality does matter. Because we have a lot of junk in our environment, a lot of crap that's sold at stores that you know nothing about. And So those are all really important things. Again, connection too with friends or loved ones that aren't just like the people that you work with. People you work with is great. You have to have outside support, people that you connect with that you can just laugh with and have fun with and who really know you. And not, so you don't feel isolated. Like if you're an entrepreneur and you work alone all the time and that's not really your nature, but you're alone and you have to be able to walk out and connect with real people and have something that's meaningful to you to do in that regard, whether it's a group or connection. People think community means lots of people. Community can mean one person, mm-hmm. two people. So it doesn't have to be anything epic and massive just to have those things. So consistently is really, really, really important. And to not be alone with your, the voices in your head and the challenges, like really be able to share about those things honestly and openly, not venting. And venting has its place, but in a way that's constructive. I think that that's really, really key too, to dealing with the busy factor and the overwhelm, the overdoing it. And these things are really, really important. Touch is important also, like to have your own body to receive touch and hugs. Like those things sound so silly, but it's really true. We need that. I've watched people completely change their entire energy level just by getting that kind of fulfillment too.
Yeah.
Those are the top off the top of my head without going real nitty gritty detail. I can get real detailed about, you know, all this stuff. And again, I can get real specific about you, whether it's the supplements or the oils or the timing of eating or a bedtime or just all the stuff that you can do. Or kinds of meditation or kinds of breath work or kinds of books or whatever that help with all this and help with the busy, help with the overwhelm, help with the not overdoing it with full lives. Mm-hmm. And they're all really important. You just have to pick what really fits you.
Yeah.
And use them. And consistency is key.
Yeah. Because of course people are different and people's lives are different and they're needing different things. And so so I'm kind of taking from all of this, the overall point is that since people are different, you just kind of have to listen and practice listening to yourself to figure out what you need and make time for those things, even with your busy schedule, and that your busy is going to feel so much better once you do take the time to do that. But that if you're feeling busy and you're feeling overwhelmed or you're feeling unhealthy, that there is something wrong, and to be able to stop paying attention to that.